Hi, this is Bill Hoag. I'm joined for conversation today with Chief Information Officer and Vice Provost for Information Technology at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, Bruce Maas. Bruce, thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome, Bill.
So I know you want to start off by talking a little bit about the Chief Information Security Officer role and how it is changing in higher education.
Yes. First, I'd like to set a little bit of context for this. Is according to EDUCAUSE Center for Analysis and Research, only about 27% of institutions actually have a Chief Information Security Officer. So I've been at two institutions that do have a CISO, my prior institution where I created the position, and now my present position where we're actually in recruitment for a new Chief Information Security Officer. And what I'm seeing at the University of Wisconsin-Madison is that we have a strong need to be able to think about risk more broadly. And so in the recruitment for our new CISO, we are following a GRC approach, and that is governance, risk, and compliance. And with the real emphasis on the risk component, I think we're doing quite well with regard to governance. We have functioning governance, could be better, and we're looking to actively improve a bit. But where I think we need to pay attention is on the risk side. And we have, like many institutions, taken a more traditional approach. This is, after all, it's a fairly new profession. It's only really come into being over the last 20 years or so. And we focused on a lot on technology and tools and a considerable amount on education. But what we didn't do oftentimes was focus on what is the institutional risk. Are we identifying the highest priority risks, and do we have strategies to be able to mitigate those risks? Found that it's incredibly important to be able to frame it that way for chancellors and provosts and chief business officers, because after all, that's the reason you do many of the things that an information security officer does. And so we're going to reframe this around a GRC approach. And I actually believe that this is a direction that we're going to see more commonly in play. Now, going back to the point about the 27%, one of the things that concerns me is that what are those institutions doing that are in the other 73%? Anecdotally, I suspect it's smaller institutions. It's institutions that may not have as much funding in information technology as some others. And so what I'm hopeful of is that the emphasis from EDUCAUSE on a GRC approach can actually help us as a community to figure out how can we help that other 73% that doesn't have a formal approach to security and, of course, some of the other issues related to it, such as risk analysis and risk mitigation.
Tell me a little bit about how you go about, at your institution and in your prior experience as well, communicating with other campus executives about not only the CISO issues and the move in this case from toward GRC, but about those issues as well as IT priorities above and beyond the security and risk and governance and compliance issues.
Well, the first thing I would say is that we need to be adept at using the language of the business. And the business, in our case, is higher education. It's teaching, research, and service. So that is the core mission, and I need to be able to communicate at a level that demonstrates my understanding, frankly, my understanding and my support for the core mission of the university. So I tailor the way I speak about these issues more broadly in terms of the ability of the institution to be able to carry out its mission effectively. And of course, security is a part of that. As we move increasingly towards cloud services such as Internet2.net Plus, which has been hugely successful in my view, we also implicitly absorb some different kinds of risks in doing that. So, for example, as we move towards cloud services, we are putting our eggs more into one basket. And so an attack that can paralyze a university's network, in fact, can pervasively impact your entire business. And so what we're trading is the efficiency and the cost reductions that could come from looking at cloud services that make sense with a little bit of a risk trade-off there, because for example, in the old days when many of us ran multiple email servers, one email server goes down, it doesn't affect the entire university. Fast forward to today, and you're running Google or Office 365, and they have a pervasive outage, and your entire business is affected. So I think the CIO needs to be able to talk with leaders, senior leaders, about these risk trade-offs, that there is no silver bullet here. To be able to economize and for me to redirect budget into the core mission of the university, which is teaching, research, and service, I've got to get efficiencies in the other part. And those efficiencies come with trade-offs. So the trade-offs are not everyone gets their own choice, certain types of risks go up. Office 365 is a good example of something where recent disclosures about NSA activities have caused individuals on my campus to question, should we be going down this path when, in fact, it may facilitate the ability for governmental agencies to be able to look through our data. And so I had a good discussion with one of my departments, with the astronomy department, where I took the position I needed to listen to them, I needed to listen to their concerns, and then we started to have dialogue about what are the various trade-offs. And in this particular case, there were two individuals who were taking advantage of the shared advanced computing infrastructure that we've developed at Wisconsin. And I indicate to them my ability to expand that service is in fact dependent on my ability to save costs elsewhere. And so this is not about just a right approach. It's about trade-offs. And so to circle back on this, I think a CIO has to be able to speak with faculty, speak with senior leaders, engage in dialogue at the level that they need to have that level, have the CIO talking with them, and we need to be the ones adaptable enough to modify how we talk about things for various audiences. I think that's absolutely critical, and it's the only way, frankly, that you can gain credibility within your community is to have good listening skills and speak the language that the core mission of your university uses.
Bruce, one of the questions that I sometimes get from people who are less experienced in the field than perhaps you and I are is, how do you go about developing allies, in your case at the executive level, who not only understand what you're saying, but also help you to share the message with the community?
Well, and I'm going to sound a little bit like a broken record on this, because my last answer is related to this one as well, and that is, you need to have very good listening skills. You need to know what is concerning your other senior officers. And then how do you align yourself to be able to respond to those concerns that they have? So you need to have significant skills in listening and really understanding what they are concerned about. And you need to find a number of quick wins. When you're engaging and trying to build a relationship, and I can talk about this because I'm just over 2 years at the University of Wisconsin, and trust doesn't occur overnight. This has been a process for me where I had to earn the trust, and I'm still earning it in many circles, but I'm the one who has to earn that trust by demonstrating that I not only understand what is impacting them, but especially at Wisconsin, demonstrating that I understand it has a 165-year-old tradition, and I understand those traditions. I understand what motivates people. Why do people come to our institution? What are they proud of? You know, what is motivating them to come to work each day? And I need to demonstrate an awareness of that in order to be able to be effective in carrying out my support role for them. And so I find, small wins, listening well, getting some success, not being too impatient, being very patient, but getting results is ultimately, end of the day, most of our institutions are really our results oriented. And so you have to demonstrate value. It's not just that you're glad handing people. You have to deliver results at the same time for them to be able to gain confidence in you. So I think it is all those things rolled up together.
Let's switch gears a little bit to another important topic, and that is accessibility. What kind of advice would you be able to offer to peers who are evaluating the accessibility of IT products and services?
So I'm glad you asked the question about accessibility. Accessibility is extremely important to me at a deeply personal level. I've had the experience of working with, in my prior role as CIO at University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, I worked with two faculty who were deeply into accessibility issues. One was Roger Smith, who was a professor of occupational therapy, and David Eddyburn, who is a professor in what they call exceptional education and is commonly referred to as special education. And I worked with them as their assistant dean for a number of years. And so they spent time with me understanding accessibility issues and how our students are impacted by with special needs, how they are impacted by the lack, frankly, of accessibility in the products that we were acquiring. In particular, I was our PeopleSoft project manager for a student system, and both of these professors provided pretty constant amount of feedback along the way as we implemented PeopleSoft. And in fairness to PeopleSoft, and now PeopleSoft Oracle, at that time, it was a new product line. And it perhaps didn't have quite as much attention paid to accessibility. It was relatively early, and that was the late 90s and early in the period of awareness about accessibility issues. But Roger continued to educate me about how this impacted students with disabilities, and Dave educated me about the importance of good design. And good design from the point of view that it actually helps majority students and majority staff, the non-disabled population, through good design. And so that became a part of my core set of values, just the interaction with these two individuals who were very influential and passionate about these issues. So I carry that forward now to today, and I am very actively engaged with the Internet to Net Plus initiatives and have been an outspoken advocate for accessibility issues. So we have had individuals on our campus with expertise in accessibility actually working on some of the early contracts for the box contract, in, for example. We had both legal counsel and our disability services area counseling us on it. I reached out to the National Federation of the Blind. Mark Riccobono, who is the director of the Jernigan Institute, is a UW-Madison graduate and worked in our disability services office. So I had ready access and a door open to talk with Mark about the concerns from the community that he represents. And I've simply taken the position on this that some of us need to be outspoken advocates for equality issues for students, for access to education. And I continue to take this approach that, and I demonstrate we have a role in our organization that has recently been changed slightly to focus on issues of universal design and principles of good design. And she works very closely with our teams as we're going through projects about issues of the design and, of course, incorporating accessibility into it. We, several of us are members of a campus-wide accessibility committee, and we also in the CIC have an accessibility advisory committee. So Sean Reynolds, the vice president and CIO at Northwestern University, and I are co-chairs of the CIC, or we're not co-chairs, we're the CIO sponsors, I'm sorry, of the CIO Accessibility Advisory Group. And that group is active, has four projects, and we're actually doing a presentation here at the EDUCAUSE conference. We have an accepted presentation, so we're giving that. And my feeling is you need to model behavior in this area, that some of us need to demonstrate that this is important, it's something you need to pay attention to, and you need to be purposeful about including issues of accessibility into your project planning as you do it. It should be a normal part of what we do.
We appreciate your time today, Bruce. Are there things that you would like to share with us as we wrap up this conversation?
Well, the main thing that I would like to say is that we, CIOs in higher education, I believe, have an obligation to model appropriate behaviors. And so as issues come up that are of concern, such as, you take the example of accessibility, which I'd just gone over, in our past, we oftentimes worked in a way that was not in full alignment with other organizations such as Department of Justice, Department of Education, and National Federation for the Blind. I think we have an opportunity to say these groups are stakeholders. They do matter. And perhaps what we should do is make more of an effort to reach out to them, because we're doing fantastic work in higher education. This is part of my conversation with Mark Riccobono, is that we get it in higher ed, by and large. We are your allies, and we're paving ground. But one of the challenges for us is, as technology marches on very quickly, we're going to be pressing up against potential barriers related to accessibility along the way. I think that's inevitable. And the question is, how can we meet both needs? How can we push the boundaries of technology-enhanced education, taking advantage of the latest innovations, and address the needs of those with who have accessibility issues? And I think it's an opportunity for us, first of all, to stand up and say it is important. And two, people can judge based on what they see as our behavior involved with that. And I think we need more of us to really speak up on these issues. And I think that's an important part that we can play in educating our community about the importance of some of these issues.
Thank you so much for your time today, Bruce. We've been talking to Bruce Maas, Bruce is the Chief Information Officer and Vice Provost for Information Technology at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Thanks once again, Bruce.
You're welcome, Bill. Thank you.